1674. I see in the crucifixion story the message, punishment must end. In my schema, revealed to me, punishment is one of the key words tied to the key word sin. This whole sin-punishment system is a smokescreen for our enslavement. The solution to the equation sin-punishment-work is innocence, joy, play. This is what the secret kerygma in tears reveals. And Scanner goes on to study the issue further. Then, by my theory, the last thing we should do is imitate Christ's passion. It was to liberate us from this that he came, to relieve us of the belief that suffering is natural and somehow proves or is tied to sin. As Lord of the universe, it is his desire and mission to extricate us from and finally destroy the tears world. And a lot of the tears world is psychological, i.e., a spiritual matter. I am very sleepy, so this statement may be already and frequently stated, but could the encoded message in tears be Zebra's notification to the true secret Christian church that he is here? Here now, here again. Not telling them what to do or promulgating a true narrative, joy, innocence, but announcing his presence. The joy, innocence narrative points to him, Christ, Dionysus. Such a thematic narrative could point nowhere else but to him. In a sense, it not only tells us he is here, but who he is. So by decoding the message in tears, I learn who Zebra is for sure, Christ Dionysus. In a nutshell, in 374, it was punishment which Zebra saved me from, which tends to prove I'm on the right track in the above pages. The voice, guilty, but not wrong, what the crucifixion proved, i.e., the judicial and the moral bipolarized, but in apostasy rejoined with God as Caesar. My God, talk about Scanner being right on. The real purpose of substance D is to create a slave labor force. Take the people who just want to play, give them poison candy, and they wind up in tin mines. And several reviews have said it's the authorities who are producing it. They are all put to work with a vengeance, and the game, which destroys your last shred of self-respect, esteem, and makes you outer-directed and totally dependent on group approval, QED, frolics 8 to tears to Scanner. The game, die messages. 1680. The age of guilt giving way to the age of innocence, which I specify is happening, is precisely a return to and restoration of our primordial lost state. Odd that my system would collate with orthodoxy again and again on a major point. 1682. The conception I have is that God loves man and assists him out of that love. Man cannot demand that love as his due, but he can count on it by faith. He would be completely wrong to think himself excluded from that love, and hence from grace. Man's failings are finite, and God's love is infinite. I really do have an adoptionist sense of one gaining God's approval, support, by certain decisive acts, which I see as one correctly solving intellectual, moral choice problems, i.e., going one way versus the alternative and gained from heaven a friend. I feel that God takes note and is interested, that most of all, he understands what other people can't and so is sympathetic. He sees even the fallen sparrow. In a sense, I would even define God that way, as the sentience in the cosmos which understands. But all this is not a way of saying man is a sinner, deficient in merits. What it says is, God's love is for the desperate and the damned, not for the goody-goody, who you see all righteous. All the piety can't make it. God reaches down into the gutter to people like in Scanner. In a sense, the kerygma is a suspension of punishment and a restoration of innocence. The gift of innocence, love and assistance and rescue, is not a judicial matter. In Tears, the serious old king's verdict, justice, is death. But Buckman turns grief over death into love, so love triumphs, not over death, but over the judicial verdict of death. And Taverner goes free. Within this sequence, the culmination of the book, the essential miracle of the New Testament, is disclosed. A holy mystery and victory of love issuing out of grief and turning a sense of guilty into innocence. I simply do not see this as judicial. I see it as a freeing man of the curse, a releasing him from his enslaved state. The court sat, the books were opened, and what prevailed was a saving, overriding love. In a way, the problem is we can't figure out God's basis of selection. Code Ethics did not provide an index. Whim probably isn't the answer. Some plan, purpose, or pattern is involved, but we're too dumb to discern it. It goes back to my concept of him posing us a problem to solve. Naturally, we're not going to develop a solution formula. That would defeat the purpose. In a nutshell, my book announces the ushering in of the age of man's restored innocence, which is to say, Christ returned. The final kerygma. 16.101. This section begins with a lengthy quotation from Wagner's Parsifal. G. That is the magic of Good Friday, sir. P. Alas, the greatest day of pain on which everything that blooms, breathes, lives, and lives anew should, it seems, but mourn and weep. G. You see, it is not so. They are the repentant tears of the sinner that drop today, with holy dew upon both field and meadow. Thus they flourish. Now all the creatures rejoice at the Redeemer's gracious sign, and dedicate their prayer to him. Him upon the cross they cannot see, and so they look up to man redeemed, who feels free of his burden of sin and shame. Made pure and whole by the loving sacrifice of God, now blades and flowers of the meadows perceive that this day no foot of man shall crush them. But just as God with heavenly patience took mercy on him and suffered for him, so man today with pious grace spares them with gentle tread. For this all creation then gives thanks, all that blooms and shortly withers. For nature cleansed has gained this day her day of innocence. The theme of tears and love and guilt turned to innocence. Now all the creatures rejoice. Tears to love, to innocence, to joy, Felix. The sequence in Tears and this is the Christian salvific magic. Love characterizes the new age of the Spirit. 16.102. After carefully reading Will Durant's History of the Reformation, I see in all Christian factions a total perversion of the authentic kerygma. I must either assume 2,000 years of apostasy, or, as I prefer, a 2,000-year satanic spurious interpolation. I do see in Tears still the true kerygma. 1. Exculpation, innocence, freedom. 2. Love. 3. Joy. Form 1, PTG. Out of 1, Tears. 2, Condemnation as sinful enslavement. 3, Pain, suffering. Form 2, BIP. Wagner presents this as the magic of Good Friday. I do not understand how the transformation occurs, but in Tears it does. Death to grief, to tears, to love, to exculpation, innocence, and implied joy. In tears, the magic transformation occurs by reason of the dream, which I have always seen as the inbreaking into history of God. We are indeed down to essentials, and the kerygma agrees with the prophecy. Santa Sophia will be reborn again, etc. Transformation is bought by Christ's blood being shed. Blood equals tears, somehow the Eucharist. This is my blood and body. 16.109. Will Durant says, "The history of Christianity is salvation by faith and good works. To faith, Luther, to divine illumination, the Quakers. If there is indeed an evolutionary sequence, then my 374 experience is of a modern sort, of recent origin, and not comprehensible to the earlier religious types. I read his entry on Quakers, and their experience is mine. And the possibility of the Holy Spirit coming from heaven to enlighten and ennoble the individual soul to perceive and feel this inner light, to welcome its guidance, was to the Quaker the essence of religion. If a man followed that light, he needed no preacher or priest and no church. The light was superior to human reason, even to the Holy Bible itself, for it was the direct voice of God to the soul," Fox wrote. "As I was walking in the fields, the Lord said unto me, Thy name is written in the Lamb's book of life, which was before the foundation of the world." He felt he was among that minority of men, chosen by God before the creation to receive His grace and eternal bliss. I feel as if I finally come home. August 1978. Folder 38. 38.2. 1. Cosmic Christ outside and around us. 2. Our own selves, psyches. 3. Christ as Holy Spirit within us. So it can be said that we are in Christ, and Christ is in us. This is a sacred mystery, how that which is macrocosmic and outside us can also be smaller than us and within us. Total reality, the pleroma, is like a titanic hologram of which each tiny bit is a replica of the totality. It is a mirror-like situation. Thinking over my exegesis, I see it as a vast original cosmology, partly philosophical and partly theological. It is my own worldview, in part divinely revealed to me, in part arrived at by careful analysis, ratiocination, and so forth. It is an awe-inspiring structure and resembles no other arrived at by anyone I have ever heard of. Continually, I have been corrected and instructed by the voice. 38.4. I was taken over by a superior life form, which was interfering with history. What am I supposed to do? How am I supposed to go on day by day? 38.22. I conceive the brain as rapidly growing, evolving, and changing, and Rome as inert. Rome is always the same. Rome in USA, 1974, in tears, and in circa AD 45 is unchanged. What it was, it is, and what it is, it will be. But in contrast, the brain began circa AD 45, time of Acts, and permutates furiously, and continually altering its swift messages that pass between and among its physical, distributed parts, linking those many parts together. Rome, the BIP, constantly repeats, like a psychotic human mind, nothing new ever comes into it. So in a real sense, it is dead. More precisely, it is a reflex system of some kind, recirculating forever one thought, warped into an orbiting circle. It has us. But the brain breaks that hold. Salvation, which equals growth, which equals freedom. Negentropic. 38.23. brain is unfolding in our actual historic world. In terms pertaining to us humans, the unfolding consists of evolving homeostasis by individuals. Beethoven's contribution to what we conceive of as the person being a good example. The key term is freedom. Critical for this is what I call balking, which is in fact a fighting free of the BIP's reflex, arc, push, pull, inner, outer determinism over us. History, although filled with war, ignorance, and travail, can be read also in terms of this evolution of individuality. The establishment of America was an important step. Yet the BIP tugs us backward. Here and in the USSR both, the Nixon period was a deadly rollback of human evolution toward a fossil BIP prior form, but the brain burst it. Yes, this is why the brain interfered with recent U.S. history. We were devolving along the axis of evolution, which leads forward to greater homeostasis of the individual, i.e., greater self-programming. Thus, the brain sponsored the leaderless revolution against the Vietnam War, perhaps the first successful totally leaderless revolution in human history. This is what was important, this evolution revolution. The brain incited this advance in consciousness and awareness. Just to examine what was overthrown is to miss the point. I am, have been, missing the point. It was how it was overthrown. I was shown the divine power overthrowing, represented by the Sibyl. No amount of lies or force, fear or threat, could halt the collective consciousness. The manifestation of this moral collective noose was one of the most important stages in all the millennia of human history. It was a physical expression, map of the brain. I'm not theorizing, I know. The brain operated through me, e.g., at a conscious level. The establishment, with all its financial and industrial power, was opposed by a mind. The mind coordinated its parts. This is a miracle. Then, the 60s and 70s represents a quantum leap by the brain. In a sense, it actually came forward into actualization, the open, visible. If to me, then to others. It must be so. I can't be unique. That runs contrary to common sense. Well, I didn't put the code in tears to read it myself. The authorities did not understand, at all guess, what confronted them. They had inaccurate, very inaccurate, intimations of a coordinating group. They must have succeeded in discerning a pattern of coordination, i.e., the results, but not the cause, source. They saw revolution. They saw the anti-establishment counterculture articulations, voices, and plotted correctly a synchronization, but could not account for it, despite the efforts of the police. Who were the leaders of this revolution? They had killed all the leaders, and it made no difference. The psyche or psychoi of the leaders lived on, literally. Impossible. For instance, in 374 and on, I toyed with the idea, for really quite a while, that it was Jim Pike who had come across to me. It was like him. Timeo, what are we dealing with? I'd hate to have tried to kill it, like they tried. Who have we read about who was murdered and invisibly came back? The brain contains the saintly dead, e.g., Jim. Resurrected and ubique. Then it was ubique that. 3824. The voice. Plenary override exists. Not knowing what plenary meant, I looked it up. Absolute, complete, perfect.